From UBN, the United Broadcasting Network, it's the Jerry Hughes Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jerry Hughes. Welcome to the program, and thank you very, very much for allowing us to share this time with you. Certainly, this is going to be a very interesting hour, interesting day, I do believe. And again, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. Our guests, ladies and gentlemen, have been with us previously. Carolyn Gargaro and Stephanie Herman are co-founders of Right Girl, rightgirl.com, in fact. And you say, well, what is Right Girl? Well, Right Girl is an organization. It is a group that, of course, can meet and talk and converse on the Internet. You might say, well, what is a Right Girl? She's pro-life, appreciates the system of free market economics. Is she a typical conservative? And the answer is no, because a Right Girl might be Republican or independent, black, white, Native American, into aerobics or yoga, to be inspired by Thatcher, Madonna, not to mention Churchill, Lincoln, or Howard Stern. So it does not, or she does not, fit the stereotypical mold. But certainly they are very involved. They are activists. They care about what's going on. And as I mentioned, we're very honored to be joined again on our program by Carolyn Gargaro and Stephanie Herman. Ladies, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Carolyn, you're on the East Coast, and Stephanie, you are in Denver. Is that correct?
That's right.
Stephanie Herman, if I might begin with you, because, of course, of what has transpired in the last 24 hours, may I ask, as a resident of the area, your thoughts, your feelings, and what the atmosphere is now?
Well, pretty much everyone I've talked to around here shares the feeling of kind of a sick feeling in our stomachs. We're very stunned, obviously, very sickened by what happened yesterday. I am familiar with the area and the neighborhood that the school is located in. I'm down there quite a bit in that general vicinity, and it is just something that no one in that neighborhood ever expected.
Of course, this kind of thing is never expected anywhere, I guess, but... Is it too early to tell how the community is going to respond to this? There seems to be a lot of resilience, of course, in the American people. Obviously, today I'm sure is a day of just poor bad feeling in general. But what does the future hold, do you think?
Well, talk radio out here in Denver has been just jam packed with residents of the community trying to. Not only just express their personal feelings and vent a little bit, but also trying to make sense of it. And unfortunately, it's something that can't be made sense of, but that doesn't mean that people don't try.
Obviously, we're going to be talking a whole lot about this situation in days to come, but I'd like to concentrate, ladies, if we might, during the course of our time together, on something that you are very much concerned in, and in fact are going to be taking part in a relatively short period of time. And, of course, that is a gathering, if you will, or you could call it a protest, if you will. Tell us about that. Carol?
Well, that's coming up this Saturday here in Denver. And obviously there has been some talk about whether or not it would be an appropriate thing to do here in Denver in light of what happened yesterday at Columbine High School. But it's a Clinton protest, but it's also a rape protest. And as such, it's an anti-violence protest. So we will be including prayers for all the victims and their families of yesterday's tragedy. And the event was originally planned as a vigil for rape victims, so we will just extend that to encompass all victims of violent crime.
Let me also advise our audience that for more information, you can go to the website, the Internet website of WeBelieveJuanita.com. That's WeBelieveJuanita.com. And you'll find additional information there. Carolyn Gargaro, this is something that that obviously many women in America feel very strongly about, but one has to wonder where the more renowned women's organizations are in the aftermath of not only Juanita Broderick's allegations, but so many other women who have come forward with stories about this administration.
Yes. In fact, one reason we are having the anti-rape protest on Saturday is because the National Organization for Women held a Take Back the Night protest last night, and we feel, I mean, which is a good thing to have because it's against rape, and as women, most people are, would support that, but they have been strangely silent on the issue of Juanita and other people who have made allegations such as this. We would hope that they would support all women equally who have gone through such an ordeal. And even though it happened a long time ago, it doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it something that we should ignore. And it just seems that they have been strangely silent, have said a few words about it, but really haven't expressed the outrage that we believe might have been expressed if it had been an allegation against somebody else.
Do you find it, ladies, do you find it interesting, do you find it hypocritical that the President of the United States would stand as the so-called moral leader of the body republic here, and that in his discussions with us about Kosovo, his talk yesterday about the violence there in Littleton, Colorado and such, that it's very hypocritical of him, on the one hand, to have these allegations of violent crime himself, and then telling the American people we shouldn't do this?
Oh, absolutely. And what we're finding, too, as we continue to speak out against his alleged behavior, is that, with the exception of now, many liberal feminist organizations are beginning to agree.
Let me ask you to hold that thought for 2 minutes, and we will continue on the Jerry Hughes Program from UBS. Talk Yes is our telephone number. Our guests are Carolyn Gargaro and Stephanie Herman. They are co-founders of Right Girl. You can visit their website at righttgrrl.com. That's righttgrrl.com. Stephanie, you were talking about the fact that we were, Stephanie and I were speaking with them, was talking about the fact that some of these more liberal organizations are even now beginning to come across to the other side, at least with their thinking on the president.
Yes. As a matter of fact, Karen Cataline, who is the organizer of WeBelieveJuanita.com, she's a libertarian, pro-choice individual. Normally, we might agree on some issues, might disagree on others. But yet, because of the alleged crimes that Clinton has committed, we find ourselves working together with Karen, not to mention other groups online like Feminista, very liberal feminist organization, Riot Girl. My partner Carolyn actually co-wrote a piece with a member of Riot Girl DC, and that's very encouraging to know that we can at least work together on some issues.
Carolyn Gargaro, the abortion issue is an issue that is kind of an up-and-down situation. Sometimes it is very predominantly in the news, very heavily in the news. Other times it's kind of on the back burner, just simmering. There has been some activity. In fact, you guys cover this on the site, Right Girl, involvement in the sense of a pharmacist, I believe, who is wanting to have permission or wanting to have the right to refuse certain types of prescriptions to fill. Is that correct?
Yes.
Why the abortion issue? Why do you feel, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, if I am, please counter me here, but it seems to me that the abortion issue, as I say, is an issue that it never stays in the forefront. Why so?
You never stays in the regarding the pharmacist issue, or
the abortion issue in general is never in the forefront as far as news is concerned. It has its day, and then it's relegated to a back position until the next event or the next bombing or whatever comes up, and then we tackle the abortion issue again.
I think it's because it's such a ongoing issue. It's something that isn't going to be resolved anytime soon. And with an issue that is continual like that, it's not a necessarily specific event or a simple bill that's going to be put before Congress and then everyone's going to forget about it. It goes on and on, and it's almost like you can't focus on it all the time, and so things happen, and then abortion is a very important issue, but then other things happen that take precedence at that time. So it's since it's so ongoing, it just can't be in the forefront all the time because of everything else that's going on.
And yet at the same time, it seems as though, and again, perhaps I'm misreading here, it seems as though, for instance, the Second Amendment issue pretty well does stay in the forefront all the time. Even when there are not school bombings or school shootings and such, it seems as though the abortion issue that perhaps, and maybe again I'm reading wrong, if so please state, that perhaps some have just given up and said, well, it is going to be with us. We've tried everything. We've tried protest. We've tried political activism and such, and it just seems like it's going to be here regardless of what we do.
Well, some people feel that way if they've been fighting for a cause for a long time and they feel that they aren't getting anywhere. A lot of times people get burned out. What a lot of people are doing on the abortion issue is they realize that even if you're pro-life, that abortion is not going to become illegal anytime soon, and what they try to do is find common ground with people who might favor legal abortion to find ways to possibly try and reduce the number of abortions or reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies or increase education and realize that maybe if they can't, you know, make abortion illegal, if they see that they're losing on that front, to at least do something to maybe better the situation. And so I know that some people have gone that route too, which is positive in the fact that reducing abortions or reducing unwanted pregnancies is something that is helpful to women in general.
That is an excellent, excellent point. In fact, I think you're the first I've ever heard make that point. And it's just very good, strong common sense there. That's fantastic. Let's go to our phones. In Austin, Texas, an individual identified as pro-life man is online with us. Hello there.
Hi there. Am I on?
Yes, sir, you are. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Carolyn and Stephanie.
Hi.
This is pro-life man. You know me on the net.
Hi, I know. Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. I got a question for you on abortion. I think it's an interesting twist.
Okay.
I'm looking at the ACLU page, not right now. I've kind of wrote down some notes. And I've noticed that they are so concerned about losing reproductive rights for women that they are starting to get in the way of feticide laws and to define the fetus as a human being prior to birth. And I think that's interesting, because that means that if a woman has a right to choose, her right to choose is being progressively degraded, because it isn't just her who's deciding whether or not it's human before it's born. It's being objectively termed that before it's born, so that if she doesn't want it to be aborted and someone does something to her deliberately to cause it to be lost, then her method of recourse is being progressively dragged down. Do you follow?
Yes, it's a very good point, because as the laws are now, because there are feticide laws, where if someone causes a woman to lose her unborn child, that person could be charged with feticide. Now, if the unborn was mainly just a part of her body, they would be charged with assault and not necessarily feticide. And, however, the problem with that is that it defines the fetus as a separate human. And if you define a fetus as a separate human, then that becomes a problem with the pro-choice argument. And so they have to actually then take away some of the feticide laws to try and reconcile the pro-choice position. And that will then, as you said, give women less recourse against people who might cause them to lose their unborn child. Because by having feticide laws, that's applying humanness to a fetus, which then again, it has a problem with the current abortion on demand that we have in the United States. It's a very good point.
Sorry, thank you very much. Thank you indeed. Ladies, we're going to have to pause here, but if I might set up the next segment and along this line. A few days ago, NATO nations decided what type of activity they would be involved in, what type of help they would offer, assistance they would offer. The fleeing people, the people who would be leaving, the refugees, if you will, in the sense of the activity in Kosovo. As one of our guests pointed out yesterday, the United States sat on its hands and did not, our representatives, so to speak, did not speak otherwise. And because of that, the vote was taken that now we, as a group of humanitarian nations, we are not supplying food, we're not supplying water, we're not supplying clothing, we're not supplying sanitation equipment and such. What we are supplying is birth control devices, contraceptives, including the RU pills from France for emergency contraception and emergency termination of pregnancy, for some 350,000 people. The only thing being supplied to these refugees are contraceptives through the United Nations Family Planning Association and the IPPF, I believe it is, or the IPPA. Let's talk about that when we continue here on the Jerry Hughes Program from UBN. Carolyn Gargiero and Stephanie Herman of RightGirl, RightGrl.com. Our guest, we are supplying contraceptives and emergency pregnancy termination kits and such to fleeing refugees in Kosovo. The United States has had a lot of input in Haiti recently. In Haiti today, ladies, 22% of the Haitian women have access to clean, pure water, while 88% have access to contraceptives and or abortion. It seems to me that we are exporting not choice, but an agenda here.
Well, and I think, too, that it's just another byproduct of our society in that we so devalue and have devalued life instead of debating solutions to the problems of the world, our first inclination is to say it's people that are the problem. Let's reduce the number of people.
And do you see that as the agenda, population reduction?
Well, one, but definitely as a byproduct of just our sense that life, human life, is just not valuable. In fact, it's often just viewed as a problem, as an obstacle to overcome.
Carolyn Gargaro, you agree with that?
Yes, I agree. And the fact that she makes a very good point, because it seems that they are more interested in population control by providing them with birth control and abortion methods, rather than taking care of the people that are there by providing them with food and water. They're so obsessed with keeping the population and preventing more people that they are neglecting giving them the very basic necessities, which doesn't really make any sense for them to, for the people that are here, for not to give them water, but make sure that they have access to birth control. It doesn't, it really just doesn't make any sense.
And how do we move, what is it, an education or a re-education mandate that we're going to have here, or how do we get people who have a lesser value of human life to have a greater value of human life, if that's the problem?
Well, one thing that needs to be done is we have to somehow end this culture of violence. And the incident in Denver is just, yesterday, is just an example of how our society is just getting more increasingly violent, and there is this inner rage against everything. And the only way I can see to combat that is to really speak out against all types of violence. Violence, again, you know, the violence of abortion, the violence of bombing abortion clinics, that just fosters the violent culture, and it doesn't help anything really at all. And I guess education would be the first thing, and to just really somehow alleviate the rage that seems to be going on in so many people.
All right, let's go to Clark, New Jersey, and Joanne is online with us. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, am I on?
Yes, ma'am, you are. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I love your website. I just wanted to tell you that. And
thank you.
Also to ask you a question. Do you have any future plans for Right Girl in particular? Would you consider it being an alternative to the existing NOW organization?
Well, that wasn't one of our plans. We kind of consider ourselves already an alternative to NOW. What we would love to see happen is sort of what's happening right now on a small scale, that we're beginning to work with liberal feminist groups on at least those issues where we can agree. NOW is a little bit different issue altogether. They are obviously more politically motivated than morally motivated. And, you know, depending on what your morals are, obviously NOW types have their own sets of morals. We have a different set. Until NOW can really break the shackles of their political binds, they are going to be viewed as hypocrites. But most of the rest of the feminist movement that seems to be joining together with us is trying to avoid looking hypocritical and speaking out when they feel that it's necessary to do so, regardless of which party is the recipient of that speaking out.
Joanne, thank you very much for your call, ma'am, and your question. Ladies, we're down to roughly our last 40 seconds. For those folks in the Denver area or those nearby who would like to come take part in your activity, I want to give date, time, and place.
It's April 24th, this Saturday at 5 p.m. in Civic Center Park.
And, of course, everyone is welcome. Every nonviolent person is welcome.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you very, very much. We certainly always appreciate the fact that you would take time from your days to be with us, and hopefully you would consider coming back and being with us again.
Absolutely. Sure we would. Thank
Carolyn Gargaro, thank you, ma'am. Stephanie Herman, ma'am, thank you. Right Girl, RightGrrl.com. Or WeBelieveJuanita.com, also another internet website. And we will continue here from the United Broadcasting Network on the Jerry Hughes Program.